I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Welcome back, one Joe Musgrove to the mound. Going to make his first start since late May tonight. Takes the mound against the Pittsburgh Pirates, returning from the injured list. And by the way, sneaky, well, we can talk about it a little bit later as well as we look ahead to the Pirates series. But, and not necessarily today, but Joe's performance going forward, kind of critical for the Padres' chances, I would think, you know, in the playoffs. Getting to the playoffs and then performing well in the playoffs. If Joe...
Minus the kinda.
If Joe is pitches like Joe, man, all of a sudden your rotation looks a lot more formidable in a postseason series. And if he's not, you know, he had a 5.5-something ERA in the first part of the season, then it's not quite as scary to face the San Diego Padres. So they've said that his velocity is up a little bit in the rehab starts and works in the bullpen. He's made some adjustments to his mechanics to try to alleviate some of the elbow discomfort from the bone spur that doesn't just go away. It's there until he has surgery at some point. He's got it in there, but there are ways they think that they can compensate with more leg action, and he's getting some more velocity out of it. Now, can he still get the same kind of movement on the breaking balls? Miss bats the way that Joe can when he's on? We'll start finding out the answer to that question tonight. We won't get a definitive answer one way or another in, you know, four innings or whatever he throws in this game, but we'll start getting the answer to that question tonight when Joe Musgrove makes his return to the mound.
Yeah, it's going to be really important for the defense to do their job early and really, you know, for the rest of the season. You got to shore up the defense of this team. And when your pitcher, when they know, hey, Joe Musgrove's only got 65 pitches, what do you think their game plan is going to be? Right, I mean, if you're Derek Shelton tonight, like, hey, this guy's got 50 to 60 pitches that are at his disposal tonight. Wait him out. Then again, do you want to get into this Padres bullpen? You might after how taxed they are. So, going to be a bit of a chess match tonight for Joe.
I wonder. I mean, they've done a good job even with as much as the bullpen's been used. I mean, I would think that Hoeing and Morey Hone are both available tonight behind Joe, maybe even for multiple innings.
Sure.
Hoeing, certainly at least, that you can, Mike Schilt and Ruben Nieblo have a plan.
They do.
For how they're going to handle that. And then they've got two more games, so what, King and Perez again, and then they've got an off day on Thursday to kind of reset things. Is that
Perez
what it
is? Or Waldron?
Is it Waldron?
Waldron.
It's Waldron, whatever. They got two more games before an off day on Thursday where they can then reset the bullpen a little bit before the weekend series in Colorado, which sometimes you need extra bullpen help in Colorado as well.
Just a reminder, as of now, Carl Edwards still on the roster. He's very fresh. He's only thrown 12 pitches, but he's fresh.
You don't want to see them going to Carl Edwards necessarily?
Bro, I almost thought yesterday when they got down 5. In my mind,
it's Perez on Wednesday.
Is it Perez?
Yeah, Perez.
He was warming up yesterday.
In my mind, I was driving to the game. It was 5-0, and I was like, it's a great day for Carl Edwards Jr. But then again, if you're Mike Schilt, and make no mistake, there are big league managers. They all do it. They won't admit to doing it, but they do it. It's a punt. And I don't know what the number is for Mike Schilt. where he's like, yeah, let's just flush it today and get back at it tomorrow. Probably because this team never quits fighting. Is it eight? Is it eight in four innings? Is it nine? Is it 10? I have no idea.
It's also weird when you have such a deep bullpen.
Yes.
And you're behind in games and you're going to a guy like Jason Adam yesterday,
yeah,
down three, and I'm going, why are you using one of your best relievers down three? Said,
Because we can come back at a moment's notice.
And all of the relievers, you know, at least the top four or five guys are all really good.
Yeah.
So you get to use better guys in worse situations when you have a deeper bullpen. And we've seen that. And it has led to victories for sure for the Padres in the second half of the season, especially since the trade deadline.
So somebody's got to go down for Joe to come up today, I would imagine. Yeah, it's probably Carl Edwards Jr.
I would think so.
I would think
Yeah,
so.
I would expect that would be the corresponding move, but we will find out sometime pregame, I would imagine.
It's also the chance that Scott Reynolds,
Sean Reynolds. Yeah, that's true.
Potentially.
He pitched yesterday.
Pitched
a couple
got options.
Pitched a little while yesterday, so probably Reynolds.
Or maybe they make two moves.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what goes on. All right, we need a contestant for Take on Woods. If you want to call in right now, we're just a couple of minutes away from our musical trivia challenge. Tier 1 v. Woods, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Call in now. Frankie will put you on hold, and we'll play our game here in just a couple of minutes. We'll get into the Saturday and Friday games, the Jackson Merrill heroics coming up here in just a little bit, but certainly more positive than negative for your San Diego Padres since the All-Star break. But we were just talking during the break that, and I thought Frank made a really good point, that the Arizona Diamondbacks are probably actually the hottest team in baseball right now. The Padres are just a tick behind them, but they are playing so well that they went 6-1 this week against the Guardians and the Phillies, two first-place teams. And they are now at full strength. They got Merrill Kelly back yesterday. They've gotten Eduardo Rodriguez finally into the rotation. He's not pitching great yet, but he's starting to get there. Zach Gallen is back. The early part of the season was when you had your chance to separate yourself from the Diamondbacks. Now they are, you know, with the Padres, breathing down the necks of the Dodgers, and they are going to be a problem. I saw some people saying that. The Diamondbacks are a problem. Yeah, they are going to be a problem the rest of the way, and you don't face them again until the last weekend of the season.
They're handling business against some really good teams, putting up a lot of, you know, against some really good pitchers as well. Marte's a little banged up right now, but guys are stepping up in his absence. So, yeah, man, they're a scary-ass team. They really, really are, and if I'm the Dodgers, I'm still a little bit nervous, maybe even more about the Diamondbacks than I am the Padres, which, hey, that's fine. You know, make the playoffs. At this point, I just want to make the playoffs. Winning the division would be a dream. It would take quite a lot of luck to do that, but get in the playoffs, we'll see what happens. But man, yeah, they look like they have figured it out.
So, I mean, I don't know if it takes luck. It takes playing like you've been playing for another 7 weeks.
But they also need to play poorly, and they're not. They're playing really well as well.
Yeah.
You can't catch up.
Well,
on...
you're not behind them, though. You're right where they are. So
No, not the Diamondbacks.
Oh, the Dodgers.
The Dodgers. It would take some luck to win the division.
Yeah, I mean, they may have started turning it around this weekend against the Pirates. We'll see. They have not. Their bullpen still is a little nerve-inducing, I would say. You know, they've had some leads that they're unable to protect. You know, they're getting Mookie Betts back. He's going out into right field.
Which is where he's really good.
Well, yeah, but he was really good at shortstop before he got hurt, too.
Offensively,
he was producing when he was there before before he got hurt.
No, he is back where he is probably the most comfortable. Now, I don't know that that's the position he necessarily wants to play. I think he really liked being a middle infielder. And but hey, man, he said I'm going out there, and he obviously knows how to play the position very well. So we will talk about that. We will talk about all of it.
Right now, though, let's get to our game. Yeah, let's play a little Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods. Woods.
All right, looks like Guy is our guy today. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Guy, good morning to you.
Another month, another game, right?
Another month, another game. Yeah, we got a great prize here in August. If you can beat or tie Woods, we'll put you into the grand prize drawing for the two-night stay at Resorts World Las Vegas and two tickets to Carrie Underwood Reflection at Resorts World Theater. It's her new residency from August 14th, starting later this week to October 26th. Tickets are on sale now at AXS.com and RWLasVegas.com. Guy, here are your categories to choose from. The Afterlife, still sitting there. Five song titles and artists, including the word after. Sprechen Sie Deutsch. Those are German-adjacent bands, artists, songs. And then we've got The Beginning of Life. Five songs or bands that begin with life. So The Afterlife, Sprechen Sie Deutsch, or The Beginning of Life. Guy?
Let's try Beginning of Life.
The Beginning of Life, the new category again. Okay, today we are looking for five songs or bands that start with the word life. You'll have 60 seconds. Get as many as you can. Pass if you don't know one. We'll come back to it if there's still time left on the clock. First question is our two-second song. Frankie's queuing it up right now. You need to identify both the song title and the artist to score that point. Guy, I know you know how to play. I'm just explaining it for people out there who may not have heard this before. So, Guy, you ready?
Yeah, I am.
Natalia and Paul, are you ready to go? All right, let's put 60 seconds on the category, The Beginning of Life. Guy, your time begins when Frank plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Life in the Fast Lane, the Eagles.
Correct. Which 1991 song by Canadian artist Tom Cochrane was covered by Rascal Flatts for the Pixar movie Cars?
Life is a Highway.
Correct. Consider one of his best vocal performances. Which 1971 David Bowie song references one of the planets of the solar system?
Life on Mars.
Correct. Which band's 2000 hit Hanging by the Moment was named the number one song of the year by the Billboard Hot 100?
Is that Lifehouse?
That is correct. Joe Walsh satirically sings about the excesses of his Eagles rock star life, including a Maserati that goes 185 in which 1978 solo hit?
Life's been good to me so far.
Wow, that's great. That's a 5 for 5. That's a win. Hang on the line, Guy. Frank will get all your information. You are in for the drawing. That just leaves us with one question. Can Woods match you? Bring him back into the studio from his isolation. All right, Guy's score is locked in. Adding to the difficulty, Woods doesn't get the category.
Oh, it's Guy? Oh, boy.
60 seconds on the clock. You know what that means. You probably should be on your game. Your time begins when Frankie plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Guy.
Life in the Fast Lane, the Eagles.
Correct. Which 1991 song by Canadian artist Tom Cochrane was covered by Rascal Flatts for the Pixar movie Cars?
Life is a Highway.
Correct. Consider one of his best vocal performances. Which 1971 David Bowie song references one of the planets of the
solar system? Life on Mars.
Correct. Which band's 2000 hit Hanging by the Moment was named the number one song?
Lifehouse.
Correct. Joe Walsh satirically sings about the excesses.
Life's been good to me so far.
Yeah, very good. You guys both nailed that. One of your fastest ever. Guy was very sharp as well.
I'm falling more in love with you.
Mm-hmm. No one even came close to missing one today. I guess they made that one just too easy.
Five for five?
Yeah, 5 for 5.
Him too?
That category was called The Beginning of Life. And we have 10 for 10, and Guy qualifies. Woods feels good about it. And we move on from there for a new category tomorrow. Well done, everybody.
Thank you.
Frankie, you did a nice job as well. It's just a sharply played game this morning. All right, Don't Do This is coming up next. Jaren Duran.
Jaren Duran's in the chamber.
You realize games are televised, and there's cameras and microphones everywhere, right?
Everywhere, man. I don't know what Jaren Duran was thinking yesterday, but he's in some hot water. And I've got for Do Do This, if you haven't heard this yet. I got tagged in it 75,000 times yesterday. I will play you the Colts fan who made a song for his team's upcoming season. And it's
not an AI song.
It's not an AI song. It's a real guy.
Okay.
And that always goes well.
All I'll say is you better listen to the whole thing. Because
let's
the
go,
ending,
Colts.
Yeah. Let's go, Colts. Beat those Bolts. Yeah, it is pretty spectacular audio next.
All right, we'll get to all that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
Don't do. Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Italian, Paul, do you like tacos or just Italian food?
No, I'll have a taco.
Good. Yeah, we just got regular Paul.
You don't
there.
Get this. You don't get this big without having
That's
a taco.
That's a good point.
What about Italian tacos?
Is that pasta? What is an Italian taco?
Sounds delicious. Whatever it is, somebody should
invent it. I'm sure it's good.
It's called a meatball hero or a sausage hero.
Everything Italian food is delicious. And so is everything at the Kraft Taco. Take a look at their happy hour specials today at thecrafttaco.com. Woodsy, you start us down in the baseball world.
I will. I got home yesterday and checked the Twitter machine and said, oh my God, Jaron Duran, man, you've really done it, buddy. He was Jaron Duran, outfielder, all-star MVP, by the way. Center fielder for the Boston Red Sox comes up to the plate. Fan is heckling him and says, you're going to need a tennis racket to hit that one. And Jaron Duran on a very hot mic said, shut up, you effing F-word slur, gay slur. Awful, dude. It just right there is clear, loud as you can hear it. He issued an apology. The Red Sox issued an apology. Was also caught a couple weeks ago telling a female fan to shut up, bitch. He's really like that. Like, you gotta tune it out, Jaron. And again, you know.
Now, I don't mind if you want to play back at fans who are
sure,
heckling.
Sure.
Like Jackson Merrill did the hush.
He did.
And made that like.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fun.
You're not throwing slurs at people.
But
man.
Obviously, you gotta watch your words a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, dude. It's tough, man. It's tough. It's terrible. Can't do it.
It's not
something
good
you should
season,
say. But.
It's amazing how people keep falling into this trap.
I know. It really is. In where we are right now, it just doesn't make any sense. It's a word, you know, like Ben and I talked about. We've talked about it before. It was so prevalent when we were kids. So prevalent. And, you know, the more you realize how hurtful it can be, you're like, yeah, I definitely shouldn't say this
anymore. Even I, you know, I never used the F word,
yeah.
But even I, when I was a kid, it was so common when something would go, well, that's gay.
Yeah,
you know, it's
100%.
Like, and I look back and I feel like, that's horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible. And it was just so common when, you know, 1980s and
yeah.
just something
massively
you said,
common.
It was just part of the lingo. Like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's
yeah,
gay.
Yeah.
It's like, well, obviously that's horrible and you learn and hopefully you get to be better later
yep.
in life, but... at this point in 2024, Jaron Duran didn't grow up when we grew up.
Correct.
He grew up in a more evolved
yeah.
time, you would think, and it shouldn't be quite so easy for him to just throw out those words,
yeah.
especially in a public setting
100%.
With cameras and microphones rolling.
Yeah, just awful.
All right,
move.
I've got a grab bag of golf stories here for Don't Do This.
I love a grab bag, dude.
Start in the LIV Golf League, which is suspended golfer Graham McDowell for one tournament. Fine him $125,000 for using a nasal decongestant that contained a banned substance. He said, yeah, he was stuffed up and he used a Vicks over-the-counter nasal decongestant without realizing it had whatever ingredient that he wasn't supposed to use. Just like the Vicks. I don't know, it was the nose spray
yeah.
or whatever. But yeah, that's an expensive mistake that he made.
Is it a PED? What?
Yeah, it's like those. They have amphetamines generally in those decongestants. Don't get too excited.
I did not know that.
That strong, but I think that's part of the ingredients that make. That's why they put it behind the counter and the locked glass.
Yeah, but they also put shaving yeah. cream behind the locked counter and the glass. What is that doing for me?
That's different.
Shoving shaving cream up my nose to try to get a hit.
So that was LIV, but the PGA Tour had a couple of interesting ones. First, I felt bad for this kid, Max Grazerman, who was trying to win his first ever tournament yesterday at the Wyndham Championship.
Oh.
He's up two, pulls out a shot from the fairway for eagle. So he's got a four-shot lead with like five holes to play. And his very next tee shot, it's out of bounds and makes a snowman, a quad eight, to lose his entire lead on one hole. Then he gets it back with a birdie and then four putts for double bogey and loses to Aaron Rye.
And these were like three-footers that were sliding, lipping out. I mean, it was
two three-footers and then lip out again.
It was excruciating.
But the one that you caught your attention was what happened. Okay, because of the hurricane, they weren't able to play on Thursday, and they had to try to squeeze in 36-plus holes on Sunday, and they almost did it. Everybody finished, but in the last group, as he's coming up 18, and he's not even in contention anymore, 46-year-old Matt Kuchar was tied for 12th, hits his drive, and then says, it's too dark, I'm not going
to
finish.
Hit his drive, though, into the group
in front. Yeah, to try to play up fast, but then hit one a little offline and goes, I don't want to risk it. It's getting dark for these old eyes. And he said, I am marking my ball. I will come back tomorrow and finish it. When everybody else, including the winner of the tournament, is done, Matt Kuchar made at least, you know, some staff and the greenskeepers and everyone come back tomorrow just for him to hit three shots. He's done it.
He's done.
He made his par.
Made his par.
Got his tied for 12th this morning after being the only person to have to come back for the tournament. Now, I mean, it's a lot of money, you know. It can be the several tens of thousands difference between, you know, 12th or 7th if he made a birdie, or, you know, 17th if he makes a bogey.
But if you're, if everyone else in your group finished,
they all finished.
Everyone finished.
Now, he's older. Maybe he can't see as well.
Give me a break.
But he's not in, like, it didn't come down. He wasn't going to make the FedEx Cup playoffs anyway.
Right.
The one stroke was not going to make a huge difference in his life.
My thing is, look, it is money. Absolutely. You made that point this morning when I got in, because I said,
it's
real money. I'm not a Matt Kuchar fan. He reminds me of so many people that I grew up with, golfers, that turned me off from golf. He's that kind of guy. I'm like, bro.
I hope I'm not one of those.
No, guys. you're actually a really fun, You're a fun guy to play golf with. Matt Kuchar reminds me of every dude I went to high school with that was a big golfer, and kind of people, you know, like in my family. Not my dad. My dad's great, but like, I just see them and I'm like, you're just annoying. You just have that annoying golf thing in you. But when everyone else in your group finishes, just finish, man. And yes, the condition.
Patrick Cantlay's got it.
The conditions.
Justin Thomas has a little bit of it.
The conditions are not ideal. They're not. And it's a little bit dark, but everybody else finished. Now you're going to make more than one person come back to watch you hit three
swings. And they're mostly volunteers, so they have to, you know, hold their lives again for another morning just to come back and finish the scoring, finish the, you know, everything that needs to get done for that golf tournament.
It's so annoying. He's so annoying. He's also the guy that stiffed that caddy when he won $1 million or
something. That's right. It was a temporary caddy, and he didn't give him the 10%. He just gave him what he agreed on.
Gave him like $5,000 or something. Yeah,
that's true.
It's terrible. He's just terrible. So yeah, that's definitely a don't do this. This is a do-do this.
D-D mega do-do.
In my opinion. Now, you may be saying to yourself, Woodsy, I thought you hated when fans make videos and raps and stuff and songs about the team. It's not my team, so I don't care. So I'm going to play them for my enjoyment. Don't do this for the Padres, people listening out there. Please don't. I'm begging you. Things are going pretty well right now. But this Colts fan wanted to put out a little ditty for his team. They're going to be taking on, or they were taking on the Broncos yesterday, I do believe. So he wanted to get this out there to the public. And listen, wait till the end is the best part.
This is our Colts, this is our team, we bleed blue. This is our Colts, whether win or lose, we love them.
It's
great. For the shoe, beat the Broncos, let's show them who the real horse is. This is our team, go Colts!
Yeah, that's the part right there that I really, really, the nay that I really liked. I don't like how he says.
Have a good Oh Holy Night guy vibe going there, didn't he?
Big time. This is our Colts. Shouldn't it be, these are our Colts?
Yeah, these are our Colts.
These are our Colts. This is our team. Let's hear it again, Frankie. We got time. One more time. And listen to the nay.
Sometimes they switch the R and is on the sports team, like Real Madrid are a great team. I don't know. It's weird.
You can say the Colts are a great team.
Yeah.
The Colts are my team.
The Colts is a great team. They do that in Europe sometimes.
I don't think you can say the Colts is a great team.
I don't know exactly how it works. But in this country, I know how it works. That's not how it works.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. Born to shoe. Beat the Broncos. Let's show them who the real horse is. This is our team. Go Colts.
So he wrote the song specifically for the preseason game.
Yeah, he was...
It's not like a season-long song.
No,
it's just one preseason game.
I hope he does it for every opponent. Beat the Raiders! Like, I want it so bad. For every single game, he will be a featured guest on Ben and Woods. You can count on it. I thought that was brilliant. This is our Colts is going to make me nuts the rest of the day, by the way.
What? But instead of saying we love you, which would have rhymed, he went with them.
We love them.
Also,
I don't think he was. I don't think he was really concerned about the rhyming bit.
No, good points.
But
here.
It was right there.
Good points here in the chat. It does sound like Tom DeLonge from Blink 182. Think about Blink 182 if they were Colts fans. One more time, Frankie.
God, they're doing this again.
Yeah, think about Blink 182 singing the Colts song. Ladies and gentlemen, Blink 182.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue.
It's identical.
This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them.
You.
For
the
shoe, beat the Broncos. Let's show them who the real horse
it's
is.
Identical Blink
182. This is our team. Go Colts.
Is we spilled the apple juice in the hallway. My mom got mad. She got so mad. It made me so sad.
If you haven't
seen, you know
he might be listening right now.
I mean, tell me I'm wrong.
If you haven't seen the video, you have to see it.
He's incredible.
It's so
that
awkward.
Was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
It was so the video is so long.
Jeff in the chat said, I just watched the viewer number go from 391 to 380. we just killed 11 people from that song.
I saw it jump above 500, so yeah, I think people love it. That was Don't Do This for Monday, but as we already heard, it's over. So, all right, let's talk about the good games from this series in Miami. And Jackson Merrill, I mean, Rookie of the Year, MVP. Just put him in the Hall of Fame right now.
Fine by me.
Let's just skip the whole process. Coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. I think it should be pointed out as we jump into a discussion of Padres' wins on Friday and Saturday that the Padres won 16 of 18 games for the first time in franchise history after Saturday's game. 16-2 had never been done in the 55 years of Padres' history. Until this team did it, starting the second game after the All-Star break through Saturday. Now, obviously, they lost yesterday, so they weren't able to complete their first ever 6-0 road trip in franchise history. But 16-2 is incredible. That is baseball that we have not seen on this level in this town in the entire franchise history of the San Diego Padres.
It's such an unreal run. It's such an unreal run.
And, I mean, how many of those games, of those 16 wins, six of them you felt like could have gone the other way without some late inning heroics?
Dude, I mean, easily.
You know, 16-2, 10-8, big difference when you can, pull some of those games out of the fire. So we'll talk about those games that they pulled out of the fire coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Now, let's start with the series opener on Friday, first game of the weekend. Padres going with Martin Perez on the mound, and for the second straight time since they acquired him at the trade deadline, with minimal expectations, at least from the fan base, Perez was outstanding. Seven innings, three hits, two runs, both of them on back-to-back solo home runs by Jake Berger and Jonah Bride. Struck out six.
It's incredible, man.
I mean, give Perez a lot of credit, but I'm also giving Ruben Niebla and the Padres staff a lot of credit for accentuating the positives and getting him really locked in with his new team in his first two starts. Outstanding effort there by Perez.
Think about the fringe buys last season, the Rich Hills of the world, and you just had no confidence. Zero when he would toe the slab. None. I mean, none. You're like, what's he got? Inning and a third in him? Martin Perez is a dog out there. Straight up is a dog. Yeah, two little blips on the radar, man, but went seven. We needed that so badly for him. The fact that Martin Perez is giving us the most length from our starters right now, reason to be concerned, I think, but thank God for him. Went out and 100% kept you in the ball game, Benny, and did more than that, man. He pitched way well enough to win that ball game.
Now, offensively, they didn't get anything done against the Marlins starter, Edward Cabrera, who went seven innings, no runs, four hits, three walks, four strikeouts. And while he came into the game with a high ERA, he had some nasty stuff. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it was not like humiliating that they weren't hitting that guy. He was pretty nasty. But they finally got him out of the game, and the Padres rallied against the Marlins bullpen on Manny Machado's RBI double in the eighth inning. And then, of course, in the ninth inning, again, Jackson Merrill comes through with the game-tying solo home run to force extra innings. And then the Padres scored four in the tenth. Tyler Wade with a nice base running from third. Well, nice that he scored.
Yes, nice that he scored.
Smooth, elegant, not so much. He smashed his face into the dirt.
That beautiful, beautiful moneymaker it is.
Split that nose right open.
What a badass.
But, a warrior, as Mike Shildt called him and all of his guys. Manny followed with a two-run double. Padres score four runs and go on to win 6-2, but they wouldn't have got there without Jackson Merrill stepping up in a big spot once again.
I like that Shildt called the Friday night win the A.J. Preller game with Martin Perez acquired at the deadline. You had Brian Hoeing, Jason Adam, and Tanner Scott all throwing scoreless innings of relief. So, yeah, man, the A.J. Preller game for sure. Brilliantly managed, way to hang in, for the guys and wait till they got their opportunity. And they didn't let it slip through their fingers, man, at all. And that was a nice one, man. Martin Perez was outstanding.
So they follow it up then on Saturday with another wild one. This time, of course, the Padres jumped out to a 3-0 lead for Matt Waldron, but a disastrous fifth inning.
Yeah, that was tough.
In which Waldron and Jeremiah Estrada combined to allow six runs to see not only the lead evaporate, but more, and put the Padres in a big hole in that game that once again Jackson Merrill would scoop them out of with the game-tying two-run home run in the eighth inning. At that point, you're starting to wonder, why are the Marlins even pitching to this guy? Yeah, you can't just... I mean, you're not going to work around him. I mean, he's a rookie, and I know he's hot, and I know he's clutch, but how do you handle Jackson Merrill if you're an opposing team at this point? They got real careful with him in the ninth inning. They got careful with him again yesterday. No one wanted to be the guy that gave up another home run to Jackson Merrill, but they did get him out there in the ninth inning yesterday, pitched to him, got him to pop out. So he's not apparently infallible. But still, you felt like he was going to come through in those situations, which is crazy for a kid that's 21 years old.
Yeah, and it took his walk, too, when he needed to, when they did pitch around him. We talked about that last week. Very patient at bats, very good at bats from Jackson Merrill almost every time he goes up there. I think the thing that you can look at, if you're going to be concerned about that game, I think you have to talk about Matt Waldron. He's got a 5.08 ERA in his last seven starts. He's a little bit of regression there, I'd say, from Matt Waldron. Certainly, he was the guy that when you needed him to was giving you a little bit of length. But the guy that
I thought he looked good in the first few innings,
he did,
and then just all fell.
It
apart
just fell
in
apart.
That one inning.
Yeah, and his ERA ballooned up because Jeremiah Estrada came in and immediately surrendered a couple of those base runners that he had let on. But Jeremiah Estrada, another one to be a little bit concerned about right now, Benny. Last seven outings, got a 9 ERA, 5.27 ERA in his last 30 games. I don't know if it for him is the fact. So he was the setup man and was pitching really well. Then he got sick. His velo's there. It looks like his stuff there. It's just location.
And he struggled. Then he came back for a while. And pitching good again.
Pitching okay.
And now they're bringing him in earlier in the game.
Yeah, like
he's
the fifth or
struggling
sixth.
And I saw it suggested. Is he actually better when you pitch him in like higher leverage situations than early in the game. You need to put him back in the eighth inning, but Padres have so many options. I just don't see that happening right now.
You know, and it's one of those things where I don't think it's an ego thing or whatever. It's just a mindset of like, all right, well, this is my role. I have to accept it, and I need to execute when I am called upon to do so. I thought Johnny Brito, unsung hero of Saturday night, coming in, going 2 1/3, and was immediately sent down after that to keep that bullpen carousel rolling right along. But Sean Reynolds came up to replace him. But, you know, 2 2/3 scoreless was desperately needed. And you know, the offense found a way to battle back. And, of course, Manny Machado and Jackson Merrill really came through, and it was awesome, man.
Yeah, so yeah,
is that the Machado play in the 10th?
So that one was the play when he threw out the runner at the in the bottom of the 10th inning to help Tanner Scott get the save and prevent the tying run to score. But I want to point out, even after Jackson Merrill's home run, game wasn't over yet. Luis Arraez had the go-ahead infield single. Then yep. Jake Berger hit another home run off Adrian Morejon to tie it. Then Arraez had another RBI chopper in the 10th inning. And it was reported over the weekend, and this isn't surprising, I think, at all, that Luis Arraez has actually been dealing with a torn ligament in his thumb. But he's been playing with it for the past month. Now, I think you can clearly tell, at least from where Luis Arraez was when they first acquired him, the at-bats, you know, he's not quite as sharp. The liners aren't quite as frequent. He's still hitting like 280, you know, with the thumb injury as opposed to, you know, the normal 300 plus without it. He's not 100% Luis Arraez, but the doctors say, hey, you can play through it. You know, if as long as you can swing the bat, you're okay. So they're letting him go out there. And, you know, he got the job done on Saturday when they needed him to make contact. He's certainly not the best version of Luis Arraez right now, though, because I think that thumb injury is obviously bothering him. And you can see it just on the swings and the foul balls and the tips that, you know, he's shaking his hand constantly. It's not helping him at all. That's for sure.
No, he's in a tough position, too, because what's his contract status? We have him for
one more year.
But he's ARB eligible.
Yeah.
Right. So when you're arbitration eligible, what do you do? What do you need
to do? You
want to
put up numbers.
Correct. You want to play. And you can't put up numbers being on the IL. And if the doctor tells you, you're okay to play through it, it's going to hurt like a son of a bitch, but you're okay to play through it.
I'm pretty sure surgery, which is an option, though, would end his season.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Padres want that either.
No.
I think you'd rather have Arraez at 75% than no Arraez at all.
We said this about Manny earlier in the season, healed. But he had the surgery.
If Arraez could have the surgery and then, hey, he'd be back 100% by, you know,
September
15th or whatever, yeah. I'd say, man, maybe it would be go ahead and do it. I don't think he'd be able to come back at all, though.
I know.
So at this point, play through it. Give him what you can. Maybe you have the surgery, you know, the day the playoffs are over.
Do you,
and get ready for the next season if you can.
Do you play him in the field less?
I don't know. Which hand? Is it his throwing? I mean, is it his throwing hand? I haven't noticed any difference in the field. I mean, maybe that catch at first base. Is that part of it, the thumb hurting? I don't know.
I think it's his top hand when he hits because he's got the thumb.
That's right. Yeah.
Thumb protector on it.
I don't even know.
Okay.
I mean,
that's top hand. He catches with his left hand. He's a right hander.
He DHs a couple of times a week anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, do you just never have him in the field? He's not one of your better defenders.
He's not.
But
he's not a good defender.
He doesn't want to be just a full time DH.
I understand. I do. I absolutely understand. And I do think. You know, there's a lot of people talking right now about, well, you should bench this guy or maybe get this guy out of the lineup. I think your lineup is better with Luis Arraez in it, even at 75%.
I agree.
I do. Now, the Donovan Solano scene is an interesting one as well, with Ha-Sung Kim struggling with the bat. What do you do? Who is your shortstop? Now, I sat in the dugout yesterday.
It's not Donovan Solano.
It's not Donovan Solano. He's not playing shortstop.
As much as you'd like to just put him right
in
there, that's not going to work.
So, Donovan Solano in the field can play first.
Second in a pinch, but he hasn't done it much lately.
Correct.
In the last couple of years.
Tyler Wade is not your starting everyday shortstop.
No.
He's just not. He's not. So.
Not with that face.
Do you move Xander back to short? Crony to second, Solano at first. But again,
like Solano's going to play against lefties.
He is going to play against
he's
lefties.
He's pretty consistently playing against lefties. The question is, do you want him playing against righties now, and who do you take out of the lineup? Which left-handed hitter, Arise, Cronenworth, are you taking out against righties?
Maybe Crone.
You're already taking Crone out against lefties.
Against lefties.
So Jake Cronenworth is just not
he's a bench
he's
player,
not a player anymore for you? He's your number three hitter.
That doesn't work
So that
for
doesn't
me.
Work either. There's just not a lot of solutions. And
it's
Donovan
weird on
Solano,
a team with six shortstops.
He's a great pinch hitter. He had a pinch hit home run again. I mean,
well,
why take him out of the role that he's thriving in? Play him as much as you can against lefties. Pinch hit him the rest of the time.
Well, he said it last week, man. And I know in MLB The Show, it's easy. You just put him in there and you watch his stamina and see how it goes. This is different. He's 36 years old. You know, I don't know that he can be an everyday player. And Rob nails it in the chat. Said the answer is Fernando Tatis Jr. We just don't know when he will be back. When Fernando Tatis Jr. comes back, this is a different ball club. And yes, I've seen all of, I know all of the numbers. I know their record with him. I know their record without him. I know all of it. Baseball's weird, man. It's weird. The Washington Nationals get rid of Bryce Harper and win a World Series. The Atlanta Braves lose Acuna for the year. They win a World Series. It's not an indictment on either of those players. It's just the way baseball works. Fernando Tatis Jr. coming back is going to help this team tremendously. It's going to lengthen the bench. Peralta can then be your, you know, pinch hitter, lefty against righties, whatever. It's going to make the bench better. Fernando Tatis coming back. I'm not putting him at short, by the way. I'm not. But him coming back to the team is going to make this team better.
Ray makes the point. Tatis at short might limit his running in the outfield. Now, doctors will tell you more, but with the stress reaction, I know what they're worried the most about is that running, that pounding, boom, boom, boom. I don't know if diving's not as bad. I mean, that usually is harder on things like the shoulder, which, of course, he's injured that as well. Do you want him at shortstop? I know he's continued to take ground balls. You know, this entire time he's been a right fielder, he still takes infield.
I think it's just way there's a lot more standing around out in right field than there is playing short.
You're more active at shortstop.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you do have those long sprints toward, you know, foul territory that you're pounding your knees and pounding that femur that has the stress reaction.
Yeah, you don't
I'm not a doctor when it comes to saying what would be easier or harder on his leg when he comes back. And I don't know, maybe when he comes back, there's no worry at all. You don't let him back until there's no worry whatsoever.
Right.
And then it doesn't matter where he's playing,
yeah.
At least physically.
Yeah, there's so many options that Mike Schilt has. I just don't know which of them are the best, right? Because, again, Donovan Solano's really not an everyday player, in my opinion. And neither really is Tyler Wade. You know, and so at this point, maybe you got to roll with Kimmy and hope he figures it out. It's not the best recipe for success, but we know it's in there. We've seen great defense from him before, and we've seen good offense from him before. I just don't know what's up with the guy right now.
All right, when we come back, second half of Ben and Woods on the way. We got in-season Sammy joining us in our 8 o'clock hour. At some point, we'll talk about the end of the Olympic Games in Paris. It was pretty fun Olympics, actually. All of that ahead with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.